Support for the Capital Connection comes from United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm David Gustina. Delighted because this week joining us is Therese Daly, President and CEO of United Way of New York State and 211 New York Incorporated. You can find out more at 211newyork.org. Lots to talk about. I think you'll be very interested in the services that are provided. Welcome, Therese Daly.
Hi, thank you so much, David. I'm so happy to be here. I have to say, I'm nerding out a bit. Growing up, I always listened to public radio, so I'm really thrilled to be here.
Well, and it's great that we have this venue, obviously, to have these kinds of discussions, and I'm just pleased that you've come in. And it's the first time on this program we're talking about this, so I think people will be very interested. First, though, tell us more about yourself. How did you end up in this current position with United Way and New York 211?
Oh my gosh. Oh gosh. I feel like I wish I had this amazing fun story to tell you. But honestly, I logged onto LinkedIn and saw this opportunity posted. It was also sent to me by an individual here in the Capital Region who said, you must apply. You are perfect for the position. And of course, because we all, you know, don't believe in ourselves, I was like, no, I can't do it. But here we are a year and a few months later.
I would imagine part of this is because you have compassion for humanity.
Yes, I like to think so. I think that we are all brought here on this earth to make sure that we can take care of each other and make the world a better place, particularly New York State. There is no place I care more about than the state.
And part of that is securing the funding available to make these services possible. And you are searching for dedicated funding. And, you know, you need the legislature for that. But why don't you start by explaining to us, what is 211 New York, Inc., and how does it relate to the United Way?
Oh, yes. Great. There is a lot of confusion about it, and I'm always happy to kind of explain how it works. So United Way of New York State is the conglomerate of all of the different United Ways in New York. We have about 31 across the state. So my job is to go to the legislature, produce publications, offer teachings, guidance, webinars on things that are focused on by my 31 United Ways. So that's United Way. As a product, we offer 211, and 211 is a separate entity, but it is under the United Way umbrella, and 211 is 24/7, 365 days a year in 180 language helpline and is accessible to anyone in New York State. We have a team of 350 community resource specialists who are ready to help New Yorkers with anything that they might need relating to utility help, public assistance, food insecurity, housing, mental health needs, job application needs, really any sort of resource that we can help a New Yorker have a better quality of life, 211 is there.
And how much are you hoping to get? What is your wish list legislature in order to get this dedicated funding?
Well, I'll give you a little bit of history to explain how I got to the number that we did.
Great.
So 211 historically has been funded by the New York State Legislature. And we are so grateful under Speaker Carl Hastie and Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins, we have always been considered a legislative ask, an add back, meaning that we're always funded by them at $2.8 million, which is the amount that we're asking for this year. And I would note that considering we're statewide funding, we're a deal. So essentially, when 211 started a number of years ago, it has always been a legislative ask. So the governor has never felt that they need to fund us. However, what happens is it makes it harder for us to plan year to year when we're always a legislative add back. So the past
kind of like public radio fund drives. We never can completely count on that money.
Exactly, which is such a problem, but that's a whole other conversation.
Sure.
So these past few years, we've really been urging Governor Hochul to include us in her executive budget. That would allow for us to not have to run around like chickens with our heads cut off during advocacy session, because we would already have had the security knowing she believes in us, she's accounting for us, and we're in the budget. So this year, we did request to be included in her 30-day amendment since we weren't included in the executive budget. Unfortunately, her 30-day amendment came out and we were not mentioned. But we are still, again, very grateful to the legislature for all of their hard work. But we do want to emphasize and hammer home the point, Dave, how important it is that we can count on the funding and be included in the executive budgets going forward, because it helps us focus not just on securing the funding, but helping New Yorkers, which is the ultimate goal of what we're here to do day in and day out. We want to make sure we have the resources that New Yorkers need, the help that New Yorkers need, the accessibility that New Yorkers need, and fundamentally assuring that we have that money to help them would allow us to focus on other things as well.
Absolutely. You want sustained funds. Well,
yes.
You know, I wonder, and I'm going to throw this into the conversation. We're speaking with Therese Daly, President and CEO of United Way of New York State and 211 New York Incorporated. I'm David Gustina. You're listening to The Capital Connection. The federal cuts. Now, we've seen hunger and housing and general affordability a major problem. How much is that impacting, you know, the amount of people who may be reaching out to you through 211?
Oh, that's a great question. It has been very hard to see, as someone who is passionate about helping others, the cuts that have come down from the federal government. So we are so proud to be doing everything that we can to mitigate it in every level here at United Way and 211. For us, 211 New York is only recipient of state funding, which is why it is even more important that we have the focus and the funding of 2.8 for 211. But on other needs, we're finding that the calls are increasing. Last year in 2025 alone, we received over 2.1 million calls. And the year before was just a little under. So what we're finding is that people are getting their resources and their finances already being restricted. And then they come to us needing more resources to help balance out, and it puts a strain on the system, for example. But we do not receive federal funding. So we're not one that benefits from it. We're just trying to mitigate it. Unfortunately, we're also trying to prepare for the fact of the trickle-down effect from H.R. 1, which will take effect in 2027. So we're preparing, we're building blocks to be able to handle that, but we've already seen an uptick in calls about certain needs that have been cut by the federal government, which would be food insecurity.
Yeah, so you're really helping with food, housing, mental health support, and so much more. It's free, confidential, and available 24/7. Again, this is 211 New York. You can read all about it at 211newyork.org. Well, you know, disaster preparedness. We just had a major blizzard in parts of New York and snow falling in many parts of upstate. And you're there for that kind of assistance, too. Explain, because you were talking about it right before we came on air about having to deal with so many calls during the storm.
Absolutely. 211 across the state has been there through every big weather-related event and natural disaster that we can think of for the past few decades. Most recently, though, oh my goodness, this year has already been off to such a weather.
Quite a February.
And that was after recovering from January. 211 has been there every step of the way. We've been mentioned in the governor's press releases. There was just a press conference with the last big storm about 3 weeks ago where 211 was mentioned as, please call 211 if you need help during the storm.
Oh, yeah. I see it in our AP copy, and the National Weather Service uses it for assistance as well.
Yes. And Kelly Dodd, our chief programming officer, serves on the Disaster Planning Council here in New York. And it really emphasizes the fact that 211 is there when not anyone else can be. We're still up and running. We're still going. We have not had loss of electricity. Our community resource specialists are on the ground, and they're able to help people in different areas that may have been affected by the weather-related disasters. And 211 is there. So we help individuals get to safety, know where safety is, help them get food in a moment of crisis or a state of crisis, helping connect them to warming centers, which is one of the biggest things.
Oh, yeah, with the cold this year especially, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. You know, the brutal temperatures, not everyone has the housing that is able to ail them from those winds and the cold. So being able to be there and help people get warmth. You know, if we're able to help one person get to warmth, we've done our job.
And right? If you've been paying attention, you saw at least five, I know, or more people have died in the cold in New York City this winter.
And that is five too many.
Yeah, it is.
Right? Preventable deaths, that's where it hits home. And we really need to make sure that people know the resources that are available to them, because we're here to help.
Talking with Therese Daly, President and CEO of the United Way of New York State and 211 New York, Inc. If you need any of the help they provide or just want to learn more, 211newyork.org. You know, you mentioned, I think, 31 locations across the state for 211. How do you staff this? Who are these people that are helping other New Yorkers, their fellow citizens? Is this all volunteer? How does it work?
So each United Way has a president and CEO or executive director who is the leader of their United Way in the community. And the composition can vary. Some it is, you know, only one or two paid staff members,
right,
and then the rest is volunteer. Some have all volunteer and only one paid staff member. But we also do have some United Ways that are 100% volunteer. So it's kind of structured differently based off of the needs in the community. Some of our United Ways have larger staff, such as Long Island or Westchester or even the Capital Region. And Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse have bigger staffs. And then the smaller United Ways in between those areas tend to be kind of smaller staff. And some are even under five. So our goal at United Way of New York State and 211 New York is to make sure that they have the resources that they need because they're on the ground doing the good work. So we want to make that as easy as possible.
Now I want you to tell me about something called the ALICE movement.
Yes, I'm so glad to. Thank you for bringing that up. So at United Way of New York State, we publish a report called the ALICE report, and that stands for Asset Limited Income Constrained Employed. And essentially that talks about what the nature of the New Yorker and the New York household is going through for that year. Essentially, we have found the numbers are very sobering. In 2025's report, our ALICE report, we found that 48% of New York households are struggling to make basic ends meet.
48%, you just said?
48%.
It's really unbelievable, and some might say unconscionable in a state like New York.
Absolutely. And it's devastating and horrifying, considering how much is being spent on various things in other ways and the affordability crisis. You know, our governor's been very good about talking about it and really ushering it home. But it is very much a crisis. We're seeing that, too, in our calls. As I mentioned previously, we had 2.1 million calls to 211 last year. And that's just calls alone. We also offer intake. We offer messaging. We offer in person. We offer various different forms. But those calls, the number one issue across the state was food insecurity.
Yeah. And we've been hearing it from the food pantries all around New York, the dire situation that people are in. And that, of course, ripples down and it's going to affect children. And often parents are not eating so they can feed their children. And I think this might be a good time while we're talking about the ALICE movement to bring in a testimonial from one of your folks named Charlene, just to give listeners an idea of what someone might be going through and why they might need these services. Let's listen.
I am Alice. I'm a divorced mom of two boys, ages 10 and 7. They live with me full time. Due to the birth of our second child, daycare costs exceeded what my salary was, so I quit my job to become a stay-at-home mom. When the divorce occurred, that created an extreme hardship. I had to start putting a lot of bills on credit cards. It wasn't a path I wanted to go down, but I had no choice. So even though I have this full-time career, it's still a struggle. It's still hard to make ends meet. You can't keep a family of three afloat on my salary alone. If we don't discuss this and we don't talk about it and we don't raise the awareness, it's never going to change.
I guess that's really a good point, right? Awareness. Part of the reason we're having this conversation today, Therese Daly, is just for that reason, to get this information out. So the people who are struggling, like that testimony you heard from Charlene there, get the help they so desperately need.
Absolutely. And thank you for bringing that acknowledgement and bringing Charlene's story to light, because there are so many Charlenes in this state. And we need to protect, help, and aid each of them. We cannot stand by and let each other go without food, especially our youngest and our older population. The 55 and up population, unfortunately, is no longer able to retire as often as they once were. So we need to take care of every age group in our state. And I would also say that I think something to bring to light, too, is that 48% of the state is struggling on basic needs. They're not, you know, going on vacations. They're not eating out at these amazing restaurants. They're just trying to keep the lights on, keep food on the table, keep clothes on their children or themselves, and really be able to have a home. And we're finding that it is only getting worse. I would also note our ALIS report was using 2024 data that was published in 2025. So we also need to see where the numbers are, because I have a very sick feeling that it might be higher when we look at 2025 data.
Not only that, but you know, you're relying on people to reach out to you.
Yeah.
So there are probably many that feel a stigma and are really worried and don't want to acknowledge that they might be in this kind of situation, and maybe they don't even want to burden anybody else.
You are 100% right. But at 211 and United Way, we want to let everybody know, just because you're in an undignified position does not mean you need to lose your dignity at all when you call us. It's anonymous. The only thing that we need to take is just the general area of the state we're coming from, calling from, because what we're able to do is communicate to the governor's office in our monthly reports what part of the state needing what issues.
Can you break that down a little more for us? Give us a sense of what the issues are as we look around New York.
Absolutely. I can tell you that housing is a huge issue on Long Island. Food insecurity is not number one. Housing is. Whereas in New York City, it's food insecurity. Whereas in the Capital Region, it's also food insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in Rochester, it's food insecurity and utility assistance. And then all the way in Buffalo, it's kind of a general mix of the three, but food insecurity is in the top three.
But food insecurity and energy prices are like two of the highest costs, right, that
yes.
many households pay for. And if you're thinking of food, you're thinking of childcare as mm-hmm. well, obviously.
Absolutely.
But these are these basic needs that you're talking about that people can't afford. And so rather than place blame, you're trying to rectify a difficult situation.
Absolutely. Rectify a difficult situation, handle it, but also plan for the future and working on making sure that we have resources for those needs going forward. That is why it's so critical to have, you know, funding allotted to things like 211,
right.
but also to food pantries, also in understanding how to help people prepare food and being able to, you know, cook, clean. It goes back to that parable, right? It's not just important to give people the fish, but also how to store the fish, how to catch the fish, how to find the fish, how to cook the fish, all the things.
Right. Well, talk about reentry services and low-cost internet. I noticed that was one of the links there. This seems to apply here.
Yes, we're actually so proud of this kind of collaboration. New York is the first state in the country to launch the Affordable Broadband Act, and it allows individuals who are qualified to be able to get internet access for $20 a month. And 211 New York and United Way is working with Empire State Development's Connect All office, and we have launched it in the past fall, and we are thrilled to say screenings are happening and people are getting internet across New York for $20 a month.
All right. How long does a screening take? I mean, what does that involve? Are you filling out massive amounts of paperwork, or are you just talking to somebody on the phone who's working you through what you need?
Yeah, so we are. It's a good question. And I will say that it's probably longer than both of us wish, but it is there for a reason, to make sure that people are connected to the right provider
sure.
for their area. So it does require a little bit more information. And we have navigators across New York that are located in our 211 centers that actually are devoted to helping the individuals sign up if they're able, if they're applicable, and if they qualify. I would also say that one thing we heard was that people were very uncomfortable with the idea of signing up because they felt like it was government internet. And I want to definitely let you know, it's not government internet. It is truly internet that they are qualified to get through providers. There's no New York internet.
It's so interesting what people might get caught up on
yes.
when this happens. And so that's where we started, was just mm-hmm. probably the numbers that you're giving us. Not only are they a bit older, mm-hmm. but we're probably not getting the full estimate because not everybody's checking in.
Absolutely. I would say that I firmly believe that our ALIS data is very strong and secure. And I also would say that through our 211 reporting monthly, which we do, we can give a pretty good estimate of who's calling in New York in the sense of where they're calling and what they're calling about. We know that families are often, more often calling, and single parents as well. Like we heard the story of Charlene. I would also say that the older population is calling as well, but our numbers, they tell a story. Sometimes people just don't want to know the story, but our numbers are pretty secure. And they tell the story that, you know, almost half of the households in New York are struggling.
It's a real hard percentage to wrap your mind around when you think of how many people that actually means. And, you know, as you go forward and you look at the back end after they're achieving these services, how do you measure the success of that? How do you, you know, when you look at someone, say, hey, this was a success that came out of a little bit of help now that got them on their feet and they move forward?
So we like to see that the individual who has called 211 has utilized that resource and then kind of graduated from that resource.
Yeah, yeah.
So what it allows us to do is get data from the resources that we've connected with to know how they helped the individuals. So we're able to see through statistics how many people utilized that resource that we recommended. We're able to see in a crisis and an emergency how many people we've helped receive shelter, food, heat, hot water, utility assistance, income support.
Yeah, yeah.
We're able to see that through kind of our data reporting to those resources. Because it's important to know the resources across the state are different. Long Island may have different resources. So we're able to see how Long Island handled their housing crisis or how Long Island handled their utility crisis. You know, you mentioned it, Dave, the prices of utilities are unpredictably skyrocketing.
And they keep asking for increases.
And they keep asking for increases, which is so bold and so not okay. But one thing we're seeing on that is that's something we can tell you statewide our calls are on the rise about, because people can't pay the large numbers in their bill. So they're calling us for assistance to have pay programs for overtime started. So we can immediately tell you people are calling about that, and then they're signing up for the pay-as-you-go program.
So, Therese, I think many people actually will find it shocking that one of the major groups who suffer from food insecurity is college students. You know, not everything is affordable for a college student.
It is actually such a big issue, and it really came to light with the passage of the Universal Healthy School Meals that United Way and 211 was a part of last year in the state budget. So this year, we really want to bring light to the Hunger Free Campus Act introduced by Senator Rachel May from Syracuse. So there's a report that finds that 39% of college students in New York experience food insecurity. As you can see, that number is way too close to the ALICE number. So the Hunger Free Campus Act would establish a campus hunger task force and designate a SNAP point person and improve access to SNAP benefits. What we find is that financial aid packages for individuals going back to college sometimes or to college do not include meal plans.
Mm-hmm.
And often, as we know, the rising cost of colleges, individuals do not simply have the funding to pay for a meal plan or a meal program, or even on some schools, they have like meal credits. Either way, it's an exponential amount of money for the individuals to eat on campus. And as well, often college campuses mandate that individuals live on campus and they don't always have access to kitchens. So the colleges are demanding that individuals live on campus, but don't allow them to have access to be able to cook or make their own food. Then that, you know, puts individuals in a tough position who are trying to make ends meet by going to college and bettering their education and their careers, but they don't have access for food. So this bill is something that we really want to bring to light. And I do have to say it kind of echoes what we're seeing across the state, which is that food insecurity is the number one issue.
We've been speaking with Therese Daly, President and CEO of United Way of New York State and 211 New York, Inc. It's 211newyork.org. You know, what's sort of underlying our conversation as people are struggling, and this is brought up by progressives in the legislature, the idea of a living wage or having a universal income, right? Mm-hmm. There have been these ideas floated. But you have a bill, it's not in the forefront, but something you mentioned to me called income disregard. What is this idea?
Yes. So United Way of New York State has an extensive policy agenda, and we're hoping that everything gets through the legislature this year. But one of the bills that we are discussing is increasing the income disregard federal poverty cap legislation, which was passed in 2023 at 200% of the federal poverty cap, We believe that every New Yorker is entitled to an opportunity to better their career possibilities when they're on public assistance. And right now at 200%, that only makes certain individuals in New York State located in certain areas eligible. But if we remove the cap or put it on 400%, every single person in New York would be eligible who's on public assistance to partake in a state program that allows them to participate in apprenticeship, increase their career options by getting a certification. So for 6 months in the legislation we're proposing, they would be able to partake in a training program and have their income from that job be quote unquote disregarded for 6 months to allow them to pay all of the bills that they need to, not worry about childcare, not worry about the loss of anything for those 6 months. And then after that 6 months, their public assistance would be cut.
Strategically, it sounds like an interesting idea to me because it would appeal also to more conservative folks who would say, well, we're not just going to give out handouts.
Yes, absolutely. And that's a great point. It's also once in a lifetime. So that also makes right. The conservatives very happy because you can't go on and go off, go on and go off. It's once in your life and that's done. And I think, too, people often get confused about what it means when you're on public assistance. And I think it's key to know that you're not allowed to have a savings account. So unfortunately, someone can't prep for an opportunity for 6 months because they truly can't have a savings account when they're on public assistance. So this way, it allows us to say, we believe in you. For 6 months, we're going to take care of you, but then you're on your own.
Wow. This has been quite a conversation, but we are unfortunately out of time. You've been listening to The Capital Connection. Our guest has been Therese Daly, President and CEO of the United Way of New York State and 211 New York. You can find out more at 211newyork.org. Therese, what a pleasure to meet you. Thank you so much for the work you're doing. And thanks again for being here.
Thank you so much, David. It has been just such a pleasure to speak with you.
Support for The Capital Connection comes from United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org.